I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Thanks for joining me for a Veterans Day special, A Conversation About Commitment. Over the next half hour, you'll hear from seven veterans who served in various branches of the armed forces. Between them, more than 80 years of service. This is their story, their conversation about commitment.
Hi, my name is DJ Donato. I'm United States Navy retired from August 1992 to August 2012, Petty Officer First Class.
Hello, I'm Teresa Douford. I was in the United States Army. I was a first lieutenant and served from 1989 to 1992.
My name is Dennis Blackwell. I served in the United States Air Force from June of 1978 to December of 1982, E4 Sergeant.
Hi, my name is Tony Slade. I served in the United States Marine Corps and the United States Army between the years of 1985 and 1990.
Hi, my name is Jared Wall. I served in the U.S. Army in the 4th Armored Division from 1957 to 1959.
Hi, my name is Raymond Warfield, Sergeant First Class, 1975 to 1998, U.S. Army Airborne Ranger Special Forces.
My name is Roy Marsh. I served in the U.S. Army from 1966 until 1969. Finished as a Specialist 5, E5.
Hi, my name is Kenny Washington, retired Army. I served from 1975 to 1997.
And so what we're doing, we're sharing with the veterans here at Harvest Christian Ministries and to hear about their stories. And as someone who did not serve, but from a family of those who served, a bit about what that moment was like. Why did you decide to serve in the military?
For me, it was family tradition, but also to prove to myself that I could accomplish something in my life, and it was an honor to serve.
For me, it was also, I come from a family with the military, and it really meant a lot. To me, it was more like commitment and being able to submit to authority and just basically learn, and it also gave me an opportunity to travel.
To me, it was a major accomplishment and to serve my country.
For me, it's just to find myself a place to be.
To me, I was drafted. I enjoyed it.
For me, I was military because my family are military personnel, but I want to fine-tune my own skills that I have that was already taught, bringing up.
Yes, I was drafted in the draft years in the Vietnam era. But I'm glad I served. It was a great accomplishment.
For me, it was family tradition and also an occupational opportunity.
I'm seeing in my own mind's eye the uniforms. And I always observe military. Everything looks clean, neat, in place. You remember when you were first issued that uniform and you had to put it on? Tell me what that was like. And you said, oh, boy, I've done this.
That was a surreal moment, but most of all, the funniest part about it was they misspelled my last name for my uniform. We had to stencil them on back then. So throughout the entire training session from boot camp, they did not know who I was based upon my last name. So it worked out.
The uniform.
It was a really big moment. It was basic training, and that was a whole new experience. So just getting that uniform, man, it was real, and it was something serious that I was doing. It was very important.
It was very exciting, and I was very proud when I first put on the set of fatigues, and it was a very special moment.
Yes, it was also very special, the fatigues, but that Class A Marine Corps uniform, sharp, looking sharp.
It was very taxing. I was in Fort Hood, Texas, which is one of the hottest places in the world, but I got through it. It was during the summer.
For me, it's all about pride. Coming up as a family member, taking care of your clothing, starching, washing, donning, and just wearing a uniform proudly.
Yes, it was a great experience for me. And one thing I used to always say when I got out, I said, why was everybody called by their last name? You know, you never mentioned by your first name. It's always your last name.
For me, it was family pride. I'd watched my father wear the uniform for almost 30 years. And when I had a chance to put it on, I knew how to put it on, knew how to wear it. And it was just a matter of pride for him to see me in it also. And it was a way of life for us. It was easy.
I'm picking the topic up there because we hear so much about people talking about the military, conflict and the like, who've never served. And so they've never had the experience. But As I hear this word pride, it keeps coming up again. I want to talk about, as you sit now, not in the military, but to watch what's happening around the globe, what kind of pride do you have?
The pride I have is at the time-honored traditions of the military and the young men and women that are serving that took over for us once we left are just continuing on with what has already been set forth, and they're doing everything that they can. They're thriving, and most of all, that they're coming back safe and healthy.
I have a lot of pride for the men and women in uniform. I remember during the time I served during the Desert Storm era, I didn't serve in the theater, but I was down there. I was actually stationed in Germany, and the seat of privates actually have to basically protect us because we were out on the economy, basically, and we had housing out there. So it was wonderful to see them, the commitment and also the commitment that the families had to make when they actually saw their soldiers go off to, you know, fight the war. So it was very important. And I like to see that. I see that pride now. I have that pride, and I really like to see that.
Well, the pride that I see, I enjoy seeing the young men and women that are serving now and what they're doing and their accomplishment. And I take great pride in watching them and observing that process.
I also agree with the gentleman next to me that the pride that the gentlemen in service are presenting. And even in my neighborhood, I see that some of the leaderships that I try to instill in the guys in my neighborhood carry on throughout the neighborhood.
I was drafted, but I enjoyed it. It was a great pride to serve with all the other people from our country, the boys from our country, and we were occupying in Germany, so it was a great pride to be there for them. And
I feel honored to carry the torch during the time I was in the military, and the torch was carried before me. The young generation now is taking that torch in a totally different way. I think they're doing a hell of a job, and I'm happy that they're still out there protecting us.
Yes, the experience you get, the pride and the discipline you gain is something that's going to last you throughout the rest of your life. You know, you can always tell an ex-military person, you can see, because there's something about them, you know, some kind of neatness about them, some kind of discipline about them. They kind of put things together kind of real neatly.
I'm actually still affiliated with a lot of people in uniform now, and the pride continued from the time when I was a sergeant first class teaching and watching younger students or younger soldiers coming through. You get a sense of pride then that's just outstanding, knowing that you've passed on something, because your time's coming to an end. Even now and I've left the Army, watching them around me now gives you a sense of pride and patriotism that's just, it's hard to explain.
In the words of Kate Lindberry of Smithsonian.com, our nation's story with the Baltimore connection. On a rainy September 13th, 1814, British warships sent a downpour of shells and rockets onto Fort McHenry in Baltimore Harbor, relentlessly pounding the American fort for 25 hours. The bombardment, known as the Battle of Baltimore, came only weeks after the British had attacked Washington, D.C., burning the Capitol, the Treasury, and the President's House. It was another chapter in the ongoing War of 1812. A week earlier, Francis Scott Key, a 35-year-old American lawyer, had boarded the flagship of the British fleet on the Chesapeake Bay in hopes of persuading the British to release a friend who had recently been arrested. Key's tactics were successful, but because he and his companions had gained knowledge of the impending attack on Baltimore, the British did not let them go. They allowed the Americans to return to their own vessel, but continued guarding them. Under their scrutiny, Key watched on September 13th as the barrage of Fort McHenry began 8 miles away. It seemed as though Mother Earth had opened and was vomiting shot and shell in a sheet of fire and brimstone, Key wrote later. But when darkness arrived, Key saw only red erupting in the night sky. Given the scale of the attack, he was certain the British would win. The hours passed slowly, but in the clearing smoke of the dawn's early light on September 14th, he saw the American flag, not the British Union Jack, flying over the fort, announcing an American victory. Key put his thoughts on paper while still on board the ship, setting his words to the tune of a popular English song. His brother-in-law, commander of a milita at Fort McHenry, read Key's work and had it distributed under the name Defense of Fort McHenry. The Baltimore Patriot newspaper soon printed it, and within weeks, Key's poem, now called The Star-Spangled Banner, appeared in print across the country, immortalizing his words and forever naming the flag it celebrated. That's a good stepping off point, is when we hear the songs and we see that flag being raised, we do the national anthem. What is it that, you know, we're at ball games and, oh, that's great, but for those who have served, what does that do to you when you hear those songs, when you see that flag go up? It's more than just, it's symbolic, but for you guys, it's a lot different.
Actually, every time I hear the national anthem, make sure I remove my hat, of course, and I guess the military in me wants to look around and kind of make sure everybody else does. But hearing the words, it gives me chills. It gives me the goosebumps because of the pride of serving and the pride of knowing that the brothers that we had before us and the ones that are behind us, that they're still out there taking care of us, just like everyone else has set the example for us.
Well, it means a lot to me. Whenever I hear them saying the national anthem and see Old Glory, I really think about the sacrifice that has been made, you know, for those who went before us and those who've actually given their lives for the flag and everything that we stand for. So every time I see that, I think it's so important to honor that.
And I agree with that. I think about the sacrifice that a lot of men and women have made prior to me joining when I did. And so it reflects that the pride that I still continue to have.
It brings back a lot of memories and honor in the Marine Corps and the Army that I've shared with my fellow mates.
Well, I see the flag. I think about our country, where we don't just think about ourselves, but we're thinking about other people and other countries and how we serve. And I was just proud to be a part of that, you know, that serving other countries.
It's pride. It's sad. It's lonely. I am humble. When I do hear Star-Spangled Banner, showing the people take off their hat. But for me, at times, I'm sad. I'm so humbled. I'm proud.
Yeah, I'm proud when I see the flag, because it puts you in mind, says this is a big country, this is a very large country, and it takes a lot of people to protect this country. So when you see that flag and you think about how many people before you, how many people in your time and how many people behind you going to have to come together and keep this country safe like it is, that makes pretty a lot of pride in you.
It's a matter of pride. I'll hear it reveille tomorrow morning, approximately 6:30 or 6:30 in the morning. And it still brings back goosebumps. And it's a matter of pride. And it is very humbling. It's very good. Very, very humbling. And to know that the tradition is carrying on before you, during you, and after you.
We think about the word veteran, and how do you respond and say, well, I'm a veteran. It's Veterans Day, but I'm a veteran. So this involves me. When you hear that word, it's Veterans Day. What goes through you
that may be a misconception to others, but when you hear, I'm a veteran.
I'm still getting used to that term, being a veteran. But I think the biggest thing is because, as everyone in here knows, the military is not for everybody. So the honor to serve, the opportunity to serve, and as big as a nation as we are and a small percentage can actually or has actually served, it takes on a whole special meaning because you know you've done it. You survived it. You went through it. You toughed it out. And that's something that no one can ever take away from you.
Yes, I have to agree. It basically, it's like with all my brothers here, it just means a lot. When you're a veteran, you know that you're standing with people who went through the same thing. And while some of us may have not have served, especially being a woman in the service, you know, in battle, in combat, but you still have a camaraderie with all your brothers in arms, and you just, you know, you're there to support them and you do what you're supposed to do. So it means a lot to be a veteran. It's wonderful to actually see your country honor that.
Okay, I look at it as the accomplishment to serve. So I get the big picture of accomplishment.
One word, just honorable. Mm-hmm. Honorable.
Yes, it was awesome for me. And I just think of how I was 22 and how much it matured me to be in the service, you know, to have to do what they say and that kind of thing. So to be a veteran, I know it was part of my process of growing up.
For me, been there, did it, and done it. People before me, now, and can come after me, I'm just honored that this veteran that we deserve that gave us something that we can look forward to.
Yeah, being a veteran, when I was younger, you think about the word veteran, you think about somebody that's real old or anything. But, you know, veteran being someone that's served, you know what I mean? So you understand that, and it's in a ring of honor, and you wear it proudly.
The word veteran to me means one who has served, served in so many different ways, even to the point where those that give, you serve, you give, you sacrifice a small amount of time, a long amount of time. There's a lot of sacrifices, family time sacrificed. Some people sacrificed limbs, others sacrificed their lives. So it's definitely an honor to stand with those people, to be recognized in that group. You know, and I love it when this country recognizes those folks. I just wish that the entire civilian population honored enough that it was actually it is a federal holiday, but it needs to be a day off. I feel it's just my personal, you know, and other things should be closed, but you know, that's business.
American effort during World War II, 1941 to 1945, saw the greatest mobilization of the U.S. Army, Navy, Marines, and Air Force in the nation's history. More than 16 million people. Some 5.7 million more served in the Korean War, 1950 to 1953. In 1954, after lobbying efforts by veteran service organizations, the 83rd U.S. Congress amended the 1938 Act that it made Armistice Day a holiday, striking the word armistice in favor of veterans. President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed the legislation on June 1, 1954. From then on, November the 11th became a day to honor America's veterans of all wars. The next development in the story of Veterans Day unfolded in 1968 when Congress passed the Uniform Holidays Bill, which sought to ensure three-day weekends for federal employees and encourage tourism and travel by celebrating four national holidays: Washington's Birthday, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and Columbus Day on Mondays. The observation of Veterans Day was set as the fourth Monday in October. The first Veterans Day under the new law was Monday, October 25th, 1971. Confusion ensued as many states disapproved of this change and continued to observe the holiday on its original date. So in 1975, after it became evident that the actual date of Veterans Day carried historical and patriotic significance to many Americans, President Gerald R. Ford signed a new law returning observation of Veterans Day to November the 11th, beginning in 1978. If November 11th falls on a Saturday or Sunday, the federal government observes the holiday on the previous Friday or the following Monday, respectively.
And we're going to have some final words. That is that No question for me. Just your final thoughts as we go around one more time about what this means. So I want to just give you an opportunity on this Veterans Day to share what really is in your heart and what you want to conclude with.
Really, it's just you guys take care of yourselves out there. Be safe. You know, when harm's way comes, we just pray that you're protected, you're guided. But most of all, thank you for everything that you guys are doing for us. Us veterans that are staying in here today, we just thank you.
I have to pretty much echo that. You know, you think about all the service members who are actually sitting out there. They're in the field. They're fighting the good fight. And I just want to say that you're in our prayers, that you are not forgotten, that if we think about you, your brothers and sisters in arms are sitting here thinking about you, and you're in our prayers.
I want to say thank you as well. And thank you for all that you're doing and continue to do.
Yes, I would also like to say thank you. And if there's any youth out there that's looking for a future, military will probably be it.
I'm also thankful to God that all the friends that I made while in the service and that I still have in contact with. That's been, 58 years now since I was in the service. And I just thank God that all the people that I met from our country that was helpful to me to growing up at 22.
I want to say thank you. You're not forgotten. I know it's hard over there, but come on back home. Let me shake your hand personally.
Yeah, thanks to all of the people that's in the military now. It keeps it going. You know, like I said earlier, you know, this is a very large country. You know, it needs a strong military. And as I said, you know, old soldiers never die, you know, but keep it going and we appreciate it. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you to all the vets and everyone who's out there, overseas and not overseas and all types of places. You're not forgotten. Vets know what it's like to be sitting on a post or pulling duty, even duty in a you know, a small area that you think is not important. It's important. And God is always with you.
We're going to end by doing something because we know that there are different branches of the armed forces. But I think there's a song we can all sing together, and it's called This Little Light of Mine. It's one of the oldest songs from the church, and I would love to hear all of these combined years of service, different branches to sing. So let's sing together.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Hi, my name is DJ Donato. I'm United States Navy, retired from August 1992 to August 2012, Petty Officer First Class.
Hello, I'm Teresa Douford. I was in the United States Army. I was a first lieutenant and served from 1989 to 1992.
My name is Dennis Blackwell. I served in the United States Air Force from June of 1978 to December of 1982, E4 Sergeant.
Hi, my name is Tony Slade. I served in the United States Marine Corps and the United States Army between the years of 1985 and 1990.
Hi, my name is Jared Wall. I served in the U.S. Army in the 4th Armored Division from 1957 to 1959.
Hi, my name is Raymond Warfield, Sergeant First Class, 1975 to 1998, U.S. Army Airborne Ranger Special Forces.
My name is Roy Marsh. I served in the U.S. Army from 1966 until 1969. Finished as a Specialist 5, E5.
For me, it was family tradition, but also to prove to myself that I could accomplish something in my life, and it was an honor to serve.
For me, it was also, I come from a family with the military, and it really meant a lot. To me, it was more like commitment and being able to submit to authority and just basically learn, and it also gave me an opportunity to travel.
To me, it was a major accomplishment and to serve my country.
For me, it's just to find myself a place to be.
To me, I was drafted. I enjoyed it, though. But
for me, I was military because my family are military personnel, but I want to fine-tune my own skills that I have that was already talked, bringing up.
Yes, I was drafted in the draft years in the Vietnam era, but I'm glad I served. It was a great accomplishment.
For me, it was family tradition and also an occupational opportunity.
Thanks for joining us on this Veterans Day. You've been listening to our conversation about commitment, recorded at Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Today, we honor our nation's veterans, past and present. A special honor to my own father, the late James Tooten Sr., Army Private First Class and Medic in World War II. He served in North Africa in Operation Torch and later in Italy. His brother Charles served on the same battlefield. They both returned home safely to Florida to care for their mother and sisters and to eventually start and raise their own families. I'm the youngest of four. I'm a Baltimore television journalist. I'm also the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland, a non-traditional church with traditional values. To learn more about our mission and our ministry, just log on to our website. It's www.com2harvest.org. That's www.com2harvest.org. Also, listen for our daily Seeds of Encouragement. They're devotionals, and they're available for free on our website. From Baltimore County, Maryland, I'm Dr. Tim Tooten. Have a blessed day.